next week is test week, right? Exams, huh? And then you'll be taking your exams. You're not getting anything? Okay, I thought I did. It's green. Can you hear me? Nothing? You might want to get Darius in here then. Can you hear me? Okay, you got it? All right. Still good? Okay. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. As I was stating, next week will be test week, or exam week, I should say. And you know you'll be taking your exams online. There will be no classes here next week. So what we're going to do today, we're going to cover a little bit more territory. And I'm going to do some slight review, if I get a chance, on some of the material that we'll be covering in the test. So one of the things I've stated from the very first class is to make sure you take all of your quizzes, and it'd be a good idea to make copies of them, go back and study those quizzes. If you do that, you should not have any problems on the exam. And just make sure that if you get a question wrong on the quiz, you get two chances. And if you still get it wrong, you can email me and I'll try to get back with you what the, you know, as in a timely manner, what the right answer is, so that you can study those quiz questions. But everything is pretty much in your book, what we've been covering. All right, we're going to start off with a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you that this is the day that you have made. I thank you right now, Lord God, for what you're doing here in this ministry, this apostolic house that you have placed us under, Lord God. And I thank you right now, Lord God. I count it a priceless privilege to be a part of what you're doing, Lord God. You could have used anybody, but Lord God, you chose in your sovereignty, Lord God, to place myself and other men in part of this vision, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that each person here will get and receive everything that you have for them. And Lord God, I just thank you that the Holy Spirit, you know, as I always say, if you don't show up, Holy Spirit, I'll fall flat on my face. I'm leading totally and dependent. My total dependence is upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be talking today on God's divine order as it relates to honor. God's divine order, O-R-D-E-R, as it relates to honor. And we're going to start by reading some verses of scriptures in the Bible, starting at Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. If you want to follow along, you can. It says in Romans 13 and 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there are no powers but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisted the power resisted the ordinance of God. And they that resisted shall to themselves receive damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then that art afraid of the powers, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise in the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, avenger, execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." So here we see it says that in verse 1, let every soul, or let every person, every individual, be subject to the higher power. In other words, all power, all authority exists and is instituted by God. He is the authority. And it even talks about police forces, law enforcement, government officials, anybody who's in a position of authority. All of these are instituted and orchestrated by God. And it says that we should be subject to the higher powers, because there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And let me just read some of this out of the, this is from the New King James Version. This is just Hebrews 1 and 13. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there are no authority except from God. The authority that exists are appointed by God." Power and authority are used interchangeably a lot of times, but the two are not necessarily the same. You c- can have authority but don't have no power. Or you can have power but don't have any authority to execute that power. But what you want is you want power plus authority, which equals dominion. In other words, you have power and then you have the authority to execute that power. And that's how you walk in dominion. And you see, what we're doing is we're establishing and setting up God's government. And we know that the scripture says that the government shall be upon his shoulders. And it's so very important that we understand power structures, that we understand protocol, that we understand ranks, levels in God's government, so that God's authority, God's power, all that God is, all that God has, and all that God wants to do in our lives can flow freely because we're operating in divine order. It's so very important that we operate in divine order because, as I stated in other classes, God is not a God of confusion. He's not a God of chaos, but he's a God of divine order. The Amplified Bible in Romans 13:1 says, "Let every person be loyal, subject to the governing civil and spiritual authorities, for there is no authority except from God. He, by his permission, his sanction, and those that exist do so by his appointment. All authority and all power has been appointed by God and instituted by him." His kingdom is a kingdom of divine order. And that's what we're going to be talking about. His kingdom is a kingdom of divine order. Now, let me just read the Message translation of that same verse. It really brings home God's order in the Message. It says, be a good citizen. All government are under God. Insofar as there is peace and order, it's God's order or God's divine order. So live responsibly as a citizen. If you are irresponsible to the state, then you are irresponsible with God. And that's so true. If you're irresponsible to not obeying the laws of the land, you're irresponsible and you're not really obeying God because he instituted all authority. I'm just paraphrasing some things. It says, and God will hold you responsible. Duly constituted authorities are only a threat if you are trying to get away with something. If, in other words, if you're trying to sneak, steal, or do something illegal, decent citizens should have no fear. And that's because we're operating under God's government and God's authority. The government of God is upon the shoulders of Jesus. In the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to just go ahead and read it from here. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 3, it talks about verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace there should be no end, upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it." Now, here he's talking about to order it. To order what? To order his government. Honor is the structure of order. Honor is the structure of honor. Order is the structure of honor. When the structure is right, or the order of a structure is right, it's going to produce honor. What I mean by that is when you build a building, and if you nail and put every joist, every ceiling joist, the frame up right, that building, the honor of that building is the strength of the structure of that building. And it's going to be a habitation that's going to protect you because it's built properly. When you're talking about a spiritual house or a church or God's government, that structure, that government has to be ordered properly. It has to be ordered according to God's divine plan, according to God's will. Because in order for God's blessing and God's power to flow like he wants it to flow, order has to be in place. People have to know their position, they have to know their functioning, they have to know their purpose, and they have to flow in it in order, in proper order. You can't have chaos. Nobody can just do what they want to do. You know, there's a responsibility that we all have to play in doing what God's called us to do and function and flowing in it together. Because the only way we can get to honor God collectively as a body of Christ is to flow in divine order. Because God is a God of order, and He desires that we function as, you know, I was thinking back earlier, coming from a Baptist background, everybody in the church had their opinion, and they wanted their way, their programs, you know, their agenda, you know, well, it's my turn to do this, and I want to do it this way and that way. And, you know, I see people come in on crutches or in wheelchairs or sick, and we had prayer for sick and shut in, and you know, but you never saw nobody getting up out of wheelchairs. You never saw nobody get delivered. You know, we just prayed for people and bless them and say, no, God help you. You know, the order wasn't set up properly. And I'm not trying to belittle anything, but we were doing the best we can with what we knew how to do it at that time. But you see, in these days that we're living in, God is reestablishing His divine order in the church or in His kingdom. And we are members of that kingdom. And it's so very important that as we function and flow in that order, we're going to see the blessings of God manifest itself in our lives. So order is the structure of honor. When the structure of a thing is set up right, it will produce honor. When the structure of any organization is set up right, it will produce honor. Amen. And that's what we want. We want honor. And one of the things we also have to recognize is that we are required by God to honor the ranks, the levels, the positions that God has set in His government or His divine order, which is His divine protocol. Now, the word protocol is like a, when you have a ceremony, there's certain protocol that takes place. There's a certain flow of the way a function or a particular meeting will go. That's called protocol. Well, in the kingdom of God, there's a particular protocol that has to be followed. You know, protocol is part of God's order. It says if you get the proper order established in God's government, the structure of order will produce honor in individual lives. I'm gonna read that again. If you get the proper divine order established in God's government, the structure of the order will produce honor in individual lives. And we know that in Ephesians, and I'm going to go ahead and turn to it in my Bible. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, it talks about the fivefold ministry, which is God's government. And this is the order of God's government. And as we function in that order, it will produce honor in our lives. Amen. Give me a second here. Galatians and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, and He gave some apostles, and He gave some prophets. He gave some evangelists and teachers, pastors and teachers. And why did God give these gifts? He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He says that we henceforth be no longer children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sly of men, and the craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but that we speak the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is His head, even Christ. This is the fivefold ministry here. He talks about apostles first, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's God's divine order, God's structure for His church. And as we learn how to honor what God has established, well, then that honor and flowing in that order is going to produce honor in our lives. It's going to produce results in our lives. And that's what you want. The frame of a house is a very important part of that structure. It's where that house gets its strength from. You know, when you're building something, you want to make sure that you start and you get that frame square. You know, you want to get the foundation first. You know, we know that the foundation is Christ. But then as you begin to build that building, you begin to frame it. And you want to make sure that frame is square and make sure that it's solid, because that's going to be the strength. You know, that's that order that's going to produce honor inside that organization. Amen? All right, let's move on. In these last days, God is restoring back, bringing us back to His original plan. God is returning us back to a heaven to earth connection. We've been talking about that for the last several weeks, and that's where that order is coming from. The Bible talks about what is called the restitution of all things. God restoring order back to the church. It says the restitution of all things is the act of returning something back to that which was stolen or to its original owner. The act of restoring something to its original state. The Bible says, in whom the heavens must receive until the time of the restitution of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began. That's Acts 3:21. The Bible talks about the restitution of all things. God is restoring everything back to order. Now, let me read what the Message says in Acts 3:19. It says, for the time being, He must remain out of sight in heaven until everything is restored to order again. Just the way God, through the preaching of the holy prophets of old, said it would be. Moses, for instance, said, your God will raise up a prophet just like me from your family. Listen to every word He speaks to you. And every lasting living soul who refuses to listen to the prophet will be wiped out from the people. Let me give you an example, a good example in the Bible of God in the New Testament establishing His order. And when I read it, one of the things you're going to be initially look at is that, whoa, it took some discipline or some judgment to take place, which shouldn't really never have had to happen. And we're going to talk about Ananias and Sapphira, where they had agreed to sell some property for a certain amount, but they didn't. And by not doing so, as we know, they both fell down dead. But what took place after that was that now the church began to function in a different level of order, in a different level of everybody. It was a reverence that took place. There was a respect, and there was an honor, and everybody fell in line. And that was the beauty of that whole thing. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and they kept back part of the price. His wife also, being privily of it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said to Ananias, why had Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remains, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived in thy heart, and thou hast filled, and thou hast lied unto to men, but not thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all that heard these things. And the young men rose up, and we know they went out and they buried him. And then later on, it says that his wife came also, and he asked her, you know, did you sell the property for so much? He said, yea, for so much. And he said, you know, you conspired with your husband. The same men that just now came and got your husband is coming to get you. And she fell down and gave up the ghost. But this is what happened right after that happened. In verse 11, it says, and great fear came upon the church and upon as many as heard these things. Now, that word fear also means reverence. And it also means there was a respect and there was an honor for the apostolic. Because people recognized not only was there authority, but there was power. And when you disobey, there was consequences. You remember we talked about, you know, when you walk in dishonor, there's going to be severe consequences. spiritually, and sometimes those consequences can even affect you physically. But what I really want to point out in this particular verse of scripture is that, you know, great fear came upon all the church, as many as heard these things, and by the hands of the apostles. Now, everybody is, there's a reverential fear. There's a respect and an awe for God's government. And because of that, it says God wrought, it says the apostles, there were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all on one accord in Solomon's porch. So now they're flowing together. And it says, and none thus joined them, but the people magnified God. Many believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick unto the streets and laid them on their beds and their couches down. And by the least shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also multitudes out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Now here we see what's taking place. Now, because the church is functioning in order, there's a reverential fear, God's power now is flowing in a greater degree, because they're recognizing that God's kingdom is being set up, and it's not time to play anymore. We need to be serious being about our Father's business. You see, when government is set up, God's all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do shows on the scene, and people get delivered. People get healed, not breakthroughs, but we get keys to unlock doors that for years we couldn't go through. Why? Because there's a power of God's blessing flowing down from heaven to earth. And I begin to see these things take place now in this day and age that we're living in more than I've ever seen in my life. We're living in a time now where we're going to see great manifestations, great demonstrations of God's power and of God's goodness. Why? Because government is being set up and God's order is established. And where there's order, there's going to be honor. And when you honor God's apostolic source, we can't help but see the blessings of God flow in our lives. And that's what we want, and that's what's taking place. Every time we turn around, God is blessing us in greater degrees simply because we're learning how to operate in honor. God established divine order from the very beginning of creation. Even in the natural realm, order was established. And we read Romans 13 about how, you know, all power was given unto him and that he is the author of all authority. And it's so very important that we flow in that. Here's another key point that you're going to definitely need to know. Just like God has set up divine civil law and order, he also set up spiritual law and order. And when one gets out of order spiritually or going to spiritual dishonor, there is consequences. You know, just like in the military, one of the things when a person is trained to do a particular job in the military, they're trained to stay on their post and to stay in that position. Because if they don't follow orders, people in their platoon, people that they're protecting die, because it's so very vital for them to hold their ground, hold their position, and play and do their function. In spiritual things, it's even more so. You know, knowing what God's called you to do and walking in that office, walking in that position and holding your position and doing what you're told and things that you hear from the pulpit that your pastor or your apostle or your prophet has told you to do. When you begin to show honor to them by listening and obeying their voice, the Bible says that when the people heard and they obeyed the prophet, they prospered. You know, when you obey your pastor, your man of God, and flow in divine order, the all that God is, all that God has, all that God can do shows up on the scene, and people are blessed. Because as I stated last week, talking about an electrical socket, there's nothing now that's hindering the flow of power. There's nothing that's keeping that culvert of power from flowing. There's no strife. There's no division. There's no chaos. You know, we said earlier that, you know, in the earlier classes, God is not a God of confusion, a God of chaos, but he's a God of order. And when order is established, that's when you begin to see the manifestation of God's power in a greater manifestation than we've ever seen before. I want to give you an example of a situation where someone was out of order, and because of that, there was consequences, and there was swift consequences. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Numbers. Looking at Numbers 12. In Numbers 12, we're going to be talking about Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. It says here in Numbers 12 and 1, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Now, one of the things I stated in previous classes, you always want to keep your mouth off a man or a woman of God, because they're on a God mandate, a God assignment, and you don't want to speak a negative word against them. Well, here, Miriam, who was Moses' sister, you know, who the author says interceded for Moses for, you know, up to 90 years, you know, 40 years when he was in Pharaoh's court, and then 40 years when he was behind the mountain, when he was back with Jethro, and then another maybe 15 or so years that she lived when they were headed to the promised land, or headed, you know, leaving Egypt, going into the promised land, which, you know, neither one of them made it in. But for a total of about 90 years, she interceded for Moses. But even though that she was physically connected to Moses as his sister, you know, she was the one that watched him while he was in the Nile, and when Pharaoh, the queen, saw Moses, and she was the one who went and got Moses' mother to be his caretaker, you know, so she watched over her brother. But even so, that did not give her the right to question what he was doing, because we'll see from scriptures that God had a particular mandate for Moses, and Miriam was not to interfere with that. It says here in Numbers 12 and 1, it says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Now, Moses married a black woman who was an Ethiopian woman. Okay, verse 2 says, and they said, has not the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? Had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. One thing about God, he's omnipotent and omnipresent. He sees all and he hears all, you know, so don't think you're getting away with anything. And one of the things I also want to point out while I'm saying this, you know, when I read the book and as I meditate the scriptures, it almost seems like everything is coming from a negative connotation. But what the author is bringing out is, for years, the body of Christ have not known true honor. And then for years, because of us not knowing true honor, we never saw true power. We never saw manifestations, not the way they saw it in the book of Acts. You know, I mean, when you look at what's in the book of Acts, you know, for the most part, in most of our Christian lives, we've never really seen those kind of manifestations. Well, guess what? We're on the break now of beginning to see those kinds of manifestations take place, because order and honor is being restored back to the body of Christ. God's government is being set up properly. And when the government is set up, like we stated, there's a heaven to earth connection. And when that happens, then you can't help but see the power of God manifest itself. Let's move on. Verse 2, and they said, had not the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? Had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were on the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and said unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they came out. So the Lord, he's calling them on the carpet. And one of the things in the Old Testament, because the Shekinah glory of God was in the temple. You had the inner court, you had the outer court, and you had the Holy of Holies. And that's where the Shekinah glory of God was. And only the high priest was able to go in that particular place once a year to offer up an atonement, an offering of a lamb or a goat for the sins of the people for 1 year. But because of this dramatic dishonor to God's man, God met them at the door of the tabernacle. He actually, because he really wasn't even supposed to come out there, because the Bible says that, you know, we can't stand in the presence of God. So he invariably had to turn some of his power down, because his power is so just magnificent that no flesh can stand in his presence. But it says here, it says in verse 5, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came out. And he said, hear me now, my words. He says, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. He says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speech. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Therefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed off the tabernacle. Behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked, and Miriam, behold, she was leprous. And then Aaron, he cried to Moses, and he said, you know, the Lord said, Moses, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishness. And now he's recognizing we done messed up. But what I want to point out is, because of the fact that she spoke against God's apostolic source, Moses, he was the man the author talks about. You know, he was God's apostolic source in the land. He was the apostolic. You know, judgment came, and she had to be banished from the camp because of her act of disobedience, dishonoring God's man. You know, and see, you know, there are consequences for dishonoring. You know, swift judgment, I have here in my notes, swift judgment was a result of her disobedience. Miriam was out of order by speaking against Moses for marrying the Ethiopian woman. She showed dishonor towards Moses, you know, and by doing that, judgment came. You know, a lot of times we may not quite understand, because a man of God is hearing from God. And it's our obligation to follow and to obey. You know, I remember I stated a couple of weeks ago, he might tell you to turn around three times. We were at Dr. Phillips' church last week, and he said, turn around three times. I made sure I counted. One, two, three. You know, because that's obedience. You know, by obeying, you know. And you see, there have been situations where I've been called on cases, and I mean cases where people's lives were in the balance. And I would get text messages from the apostle telling us what to do. And we did it per letter, exactly the way it was spelled out, you know. But those cases became victorious. Why? Because of obedience, doing it exactly. Because, see, that's God's order. You know, when you're in the military, you follow orders. If you don't follow orders, people die. Spiritually, if you don't follow orders, you know, people who are in need of deliverances don't get it. Why? Because you to be apostolic. One of the things that I've learned, you know, it's not about you. It's not about us. But it's about us obeying God, obeying God's man, whether it's your pastor, whether it's a prophet or evangelist, but obeying God's apostolic voice. And when you obey, you can't help but be blessed. You can't help but prosper. I mean, that's you know, because if we don't, well, then it's on God. Because God said it in his word. And God says, I am not a man that I should lie. You know, if he said it, he says, I'm going to make it good. And it's just a blessing to see to see the manifestation of God's goodness right in your midst. You have no idea how much of a blessing it is to see, you know, God show up and show out right in your midst. You know, and then God began to show you it was because it was done according to my plan. It was done according to my divine order. And because of that, you know, you honored me and I'm honoring you. And whenever God honors us, well, then his blessing is always greater, you know, because God, when he repays, is always over and above, more so than we could ask or think. Amen. All right, let's move on. I still want to try to cover some of the small few things that's going to be on the test. All right, let me. One of the things we shared earlier was that the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. There's no greater seed than you can sow than an honor seed. You know, it is required by God that we honor and respect every life source. And we say that a life source was anything that produces or gives life. It says, even so, he says, give honor to whom honor is due. Especially here meaning giving honor to life sources. Anytime people dishonor a life source, it unleashes demonic attack, satanic attack, generational curses, poverty, all kinds of barrenness and famine. I'm going to read that again. Anytime people dishonor a life source, you know, it unleashes demonic attack, because what you're doing, you're in disobedience, and God withdraws his presence because of disobedience. And when that presence is withdrawn, demonic attack, satanic generational curses, poverty, all kinds of barrenness and famine shows up. All life comes from God. And when people blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what life source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. I'm going to read that again. All life comes from God. And when people blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what life source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. All right, we're going to move on. If a country or a government does not honor its spiritual leaders, that country cannot be blessed. If a country or a government does not honor its spiritual leaders, you know, that country cannot be blessed. I can remember several years ago, the apostle, we were in New Orleans. We were in a meeting that he was doing with Dr. Dollar, some maybe 10 years ago or so. And the people didn't receive the message that was being preached. A lot of the local ministers in that area looked like discouraged their people from coming, so it wasn't heavily attended. And so after the meeting was over, I remember him saying this several times. He had his son to stop the car en route out of the city, and he took his shoes and he brushed the dust off of his feet of that city. And not long after that, we know what happened in the city of New Orleans, you know. And he said that even before, you know, the hurricane came, you know. But here again, you know, when it says here, if a country or a government does not honor the spiritual leaders of that country cannot be blessed. But the minute they change their position and begin to recognize spiritual leaders, the blessing returns to that country or that region. When you recognize spiritual leaders and you honor those leaders as such, when you allow them to say certain prayers and to speak into the government, then the blessings of God will flow because of honor. Honor is not just having a bunch of armor bearers. This is what the author is saying. Though an armor bearer can serve, in a position of honor, but honor is not, you know, just having, you know, somebody wash your car. But honor, listen to this, honor is reciprocation in terms of the way you receive the anointing and the way you act on what has been released. I'm going to say that again. Honor is reciprocation in terms of the way you receive the anointing and the way people act upon what has been released. Give you an example. Now, people can come to church week after week, Wednesday after Wednesday, and they can hear the word. But if they don't act on what's been released, that's the greatest level of dishonor that you can do, is not acting or applying the word that the man of God is putting forth. And that's so very important. It says they can put money on the altar. They can wash his car. They can bring his clothes to the cleaners. The fact that they didn't hear what he said is the greatest level of dishonor there is. What happens generally is people in other regions or in other cities or in other states, what the author is saying here, these people get greater blessing because they honor the apostolic source in a greater measure simply because they had to come further to hear what might be right at your back door. Familiarity breeds contempt. In other words, when you don't honor what God has blessed, Jesus in his own hometown, the Bible says, could not do no mighty works because of their unbelief, because they saw that apostolic source as being common or ordinary, we've been knowing him for so long, but people who come from other areas get greater manifestation on a whole, but that's changing, because one of the purposes of this class and this school is to introduce people to the apostolic and to let them know the importance of honoring the apostolic and submitting to it so that the blessings of God can flow in your life. I said this already, like I said, I am a repeater. The greatest level of dishonor a church can show towards their apostolic source is when the people don't act on the word that was sown. And that's so very important. You want to act on the word that was sown. Okay, I have about 8 minutes left, 8 to 10 minutes. What I'm going to do is I want to go over a few areas that we might have on the test, so you can kind of focus your study. One of the things we talked about in the last couple of weeks is I said that impartation plus revelation, information plus revelation equals impartation. You want information. You're here to get information. And then add information plus the revelation you get as you meditate on the word is going to bring impartation in your life. And that's what you want. You want the impartation. Another thing we talked about, it says, when you put your mouth on a man of God and you speak negatively towards him, you are dishonoring him. You don't want to put your mouth, never put your mouth on a man or a woman of God. This was a question a lot of people got wrong, and I want to make sure that we understand this one. Sowing seeds of honor is an established kingdom principle based on spiritual laws of sowing and reaping. It is backed by what scripture we discussed in the class, Romans 8:22. As the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, heat and cold, day and night shall not cease. That's a spiritual principle. A spiritual principle will always work every time you put it in operation. The law of sowing and reaping, and when you sow seeds of honor, you're going to reap a harvest of honor. Amen. All right. We also talked about, you never want to go before a man of God empty handed. We talked about Saul when Saul was trying to find the asses and he didn't have a seed, but his servant said, I have a couple of shekels of silver here in my bag. We have a gift that we can present before the man of God. So you never want to go before a man of God empty handed. Another important aspect of what we talked about is that the anointing of God always flows down from the top to the bottom. And when you position yourself right, Everything you need, you're going to receive from that anointing. The anointing of God always flows down from the top, from the head. We talked about Aaron, how anointing flows down from his head to his beard, all the way down. And when you position yourself properly, everything you need, you're going to receive. The definition of honor, as we discussed in the class, honor is one of high esteem, high public esteem, one of high reputation. Honor is one who has notoriety and recognition. Honor is one who has certain privileges conferred upon them in lieu of their anointings, their giftings, and their ranks. So these are definitions of honor that you need to know. Another thing we talked about is offense. You don't want to walk in offense. When you become offended, you off-end the process of what God is trying to do in your life. You know, in the next couple of weeks after the test, probably we have one more class. We want to talk about a few more things about honor. But then we're going to be getting into some hindrances of honor. And that major hindrances we're going to be getting into is pride. You know, I used the word Leviathan last week. We're going to be talking about how pride, and we're going to be looking at people in the Bible, and because of being possessed or letting pride get on the inside of them, how they fell. One of the key people who had happened to was Lucifer. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'm going to be like God. You know, he wanted to be God, and because of that, he fell. You know, pride is probably one of the greatest hindrances for people walking in honor, a prideful look, a prideful expression, thinking that I everything is about me. You know, I'm the man, I'm the woman, you know. But you see, we're nothing outside of Christ. You know, Paul says, you know, that, you know, not I, but Christ that liveth on the inside of me. You know, all that I am is because of Christ, you know, and that's so very important. Let me move on, because I want to try to cover a few more key areas. In ministry, there needs to be reciprocation. And we just talked about that, where people are sowing into, you know, an anointing, or sowing and receiving impartation instead of established business contracts with no impartation. You want to sow into an anointing so that you can receive the impartation instead of some established, you know. In ministry, a lot of times there's always a negotiation. Well, if you minister for me, you know, you'll get a certain percentage of the offering that come in, blah, blah, blah. But it's not about that. It's about reciprocation. Another key element that we talked about was spiritual sons. A son must realize that the hands of the father releases the blessing that the son needs, you know, and that's so very important. Sons must honor and acknowledge that the fathers have been sent and empowered to convey and to transfer the impartation they need. And that's so very important. You need a spiritual father. You know, matter of fact, I stated earlier, if you don't have a spiritual father, you're actually a bastard, because a bastard is one who doesn't have a father. You know, we have natural fathers of our flesh, but they are spiritual fathers. And they're the ones that lead us into the deeper things of the spirit. They're the ones that help put vision on the inside of us and keep us from going off into the ditch. You know, they'll lead you, but they're not going to lead us in the wrong direction. They'll make sure that we're on course. And that's the job of a spiritual father. Ministry gifts need to be respected and honored, and when they're respected and honored, that's where the blessing can be released. They need to be respected and honored so impartation can be released. Honoring the gift that God sent will release the blessing the Father has for your life. Got about a minute left. It's more than just knowing the answers to the test, but it's about getting the information, mixing it with the revelation, and getting the impartation. That's what you want. You want to be able to walk in what you learn. You know, you want to be able to apply it every day. You know, it's one thing to know I'm supposed to sow, but it's another thing to sow. It's kind of like, I'll say this and then I'll shut it down because I got about a minute left. I'll never forget Ken and Hagen. There was a lady, she was sick, and I'm trying to remember exactly how it went, but it was kind of like, if you believe, if I lay hands on you, that you'll be healed. And she said, yeah, I do, and she kept confessing it over and over and over and over. And she would say it, but just saying it wasn't believing it. Because the woman ended up dying because she wasn't, well, as we know now, you want to apply grace and faith, but just knowing an answer and having an answer living on the inside of you is two different things. One of the things I told the students years ago, I said, when you have a confrontation with the enemy, you can't just hold up that paper and say, I made an A in this class, because he'll laugh you. And, if it's not in your heart, you want to get these principles and these concepts in your heart so that you'll be able to stand firm and walk in honor and then walk in power. Amen. All right. You guys be blessed, and we'll see you in another week.